Lights, camera, action. Welcome to the Month of Movies podcast for September 2018. I'm Scott.
And I'm Jason.
And this year I'm watching Scary Movies Part 2.
And I'm going through all the studio movies I own that I haven't watched since I bought. And I was more successful this month.
Yeah. The first... Sorry.
Yeah.
All right, the first movie I watched this month, I saw a trailer for a while back, and I was like, this looks interesting. So I saw it at the library, I checked it out. It's called Lazarus Effect. Now, in this movie, Mark Duplass of Creep and The League fame, and Olivia Wilde of Tron fame... And Donald Glover of Community fame and the fucking kid from the American Horror Story. They're in a movie. Jesus Christ. As I'm starting.
How are you starting?
So a Lazarus Effect is it's kind of like similar to a lot of like other movies that have been done before, like Reanimator or any other movie that they reanimate people from the dead.
But it also felt like they were trying to be Flatliners as
yeah,
well.
Yeah. But what the movie is, it's a group of scientists who are working on a grant, a college grant type thing, to try to find, initially, I guess it was an experiment to try to wake people up from comas, but then it turned into reanimating people from the dead. And then a huge thing happens where
the school that they're working with is a very Christian school. So they're like, we didn't invest in this.
Yeah. So once they find out what they're doing, like this, they cut their funding, and then this other company like basically buys all their research. And they're like, well, that doesn't go in effect till tomorrow. So tonight, after everyone's gone, let's do our experiment one last time. Get all our research now, and then that way we don't lose everything. Unfortunately, during that, one of the characters dies because of gets electrocuted, and then they use the Lazarus potion. What is it called? Lazarus serum to bring them back. But much like Flatliners and Reanimator, it's not perfect because other things start happening. I didn't see this kind of weird twist happening in the movie where it's not just them coming back. It's like, it keeps working and it like activates their brain on a Lucy aspect.
Right. Because like when they first figure out that this can bring things back to life, they bring a dog back to life first before they accidentally kill one of their own numbers.
Which makes me laugh a lot thinking about because...
At
one point, like the dog, the dog acts weird.
Yeah.
And they're like, what's wrong with this? Yeah, you don't know why. And then at one point, they walk into the room and the cupboards are all open. There's like food everywhere. And the dog's like just sitting in the middle of the room, like how the fuck did that happen? These chips are on the top shelf. But then once the character that dies and comes back, you realize that they have psychic powers, which makes you laugh because that means that dog was like, I want those fucking chips.
Yep.
And then just pulls them off the shelf. I was like, I don't know what to do now because I can't open them. Like, it just makes me laugh. Like, he opens all these cupboards like, I need food. I didn't expect it to be funny, even though, like, because Mark Duplass is, like, known for The League, which is a comedy show, and Don Glover is a well-known comedian for 30 Rock and Childish Gambino and...
Well, Childish Gambino's not funny.
I was trying to think of Derek Comedy, and you called me out on it.
I'm sure I'm not the only one.
And Atlanta stuff. Is this going to be funny? Kind of, like, just weird, dark humor? And it wasn't. It was, like, kind of serious. But it wasn't blowing me away, but a lot of the things that blew me away was the acting. Because, like, Mark Duplass... like, he made it seem like, oh, shit, he actually, his character is actually, like, affected. Because when people, like, when people in movies, like, oh, someone died, we know, oh, no! And then, like, then they once they pass that initial, like, oh, they're dead, whatever, he had, like, the red eyes, he had the anger, he had, like, it actually felt like, oh, shit, this guy actually, like, cared for this other person. Mm-hmm. And that's what I, like, that, just that acting, I was like, oh, fuck, this is real. And also some of the backstory on some of the characters, too, was kind of neat, and, like, one of the first deaths I did not see coming. Like, not in it happening, but in how it happened. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was, what do you think?
I thought it was good. I mean, it wasn't as good as I was hoping.
Yeah. But also, it wasn't as good as I was hoping, but it didn't let me down either.
Right. It took different directions than I thought it would. I don't know. The more I get into the movie, the more cookie cutter it kind of felt.
Yeah.
It was different.
Yeah.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
I gave it a 6.5.
Me too. 6.5.
So the first movie I watched in September, well, I watched this one, but I watched a movie before that one, called Christine, based off the Stephen King book, which I've read.
Of the same title.
and I know Scott saw this
in January of 2017.
So he can go into details too, if you want to hear his side of it. Cause I read the book. I don't know if you read the book before you saw the movie.
Yep.
I was pleasantly surprised by this movie. Mm-hmm. I guess I didn't realize that it was John Carpenter.
Yep.
He wrote the music for it as well as directed it and stuff. And because usually when you think of a Stephen King adaptation, you're thinking not a great movie.
Yeah.
Made for TV, blah, blah, blah. But this felt different than, you know,
yeah,
like Langoliers or The Stand or anything like that.
It felt like the 1980s Stephen King movies.
Right. But it would, I mean, it definitely had a higher production quality to it compared to other Stephen King stuff.
Yeah.
But the book in the movie is about this kid who gets this car that's possessed. He kind of falls in love with his car, and the car gets jealous, and, crazy shit happens. I'm sure Scott explained it in that podcast.
Yeah.
So I don't want to get into too many details, but, I read the book, and obviously the book's always better than the movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I felt like they left out a good chunk of what I felt was important.
Yeah,
was
same.
The backstory of the previous owner of the car, which they hinted at in the movie, but they didn't go into detail. In the book, they went, I mean, there was a good, probably 50 to 100 pages before the kid got the car in the book.
Well, also, like, the transfer of him changing,
mm-hmm.
like, he slowly changed, but then, like, but you didn't know the dude beforehand, so you didn't realize.
Yeah, because the kid slowly starts acting like the original owner of the car. But you don't know that because you never see the original owner of the car, or in the book you did. So he was using catchphrases and
he shitters.
Yeah, he used phrasing and stuff that only that guy used, and so that was kind of disappointing. But otherwise, I thought it was very well made.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand you can't get everything in the book, but I felt like that was a key part.
Yeah.
Of the evolution of his character, I gave it a 7.
Me too.
So I thought it was, like I said, it was better than I thought it was going to be because.
Yeah.
Whenever I read a book and then see the movie, which I try not to do.
Yeah, it's...
Because the book's always better. So I was anticipating this movie to be a cheesy... I mean, it's about a car that's possessed. Like, I was expecting it to be really cheesy, and it was better than I thought it was going
to
be.
To me, it feels like it's on the same plane as, like, Pet Sematary and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I just like the story in Pet Sematary better than this, but...
Yeah.
The next movie I watched was on my list. It was called Goodnight Mommy. This is like from a few years ago. I don't remember what country it's from. I want to say Germany. I don't know. I could look it up, Scott. But it's about... and it's one of those movies that, like, it has a quote-unquote big twist to it. But to me, it was glaringly obvious the first 2 minutes of the movie.
But did you know there was a twist to it before you started watching it? I feel like knowing there's a twist changes it.
No, I 2014 came out. I started watching. I'm like, why is this happening? Why's that? Oh, I bet this is happening. And I kept watching. Like, it was like just me going, here's my theory. Yeah, 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 yeah. But then it did kind of take a different type of feel. But it's
because I know, like, when there's a twist, you're always like, you're trying to figure it out the whole time.
Yeah,
well, that's why people tell me there's a twist in the movie, it ruins the movie for me.
Well, I forgot that because I heard someone talk about this movie, but I forgot that they talked about this one. I forgot it was this one. I started watching it, and went, but this is this. I'm like, oh yeah, this person talked about it like halfway through. I was like, oh, that's right, they were mentioning this. It looks like it's Austrian.
Okay,
so that's German, right? Not Austria. It's near Germany. Yeah, that's where Schwarzenegger is from. But anyways, it follows these two these twin boys, they're at home, but then like their mother finally comes home from the hospital, and she has her face all bandaged up, and they don't really tell you right away why she was in the hospital or what happened to her face, but then the kids are like, that's not mom, she's acting differently, why is she doing this? And and it just gets to a point where, like, maybe halfway through the movie, like, she's just getting mad at one of the two boys. Like, she's always like, stop doing that for him. Don't let him do this. And so that, like, and then the kids are like, they're just like, this can't be her. This, she looks different. This isn't her mom. And then to the point where they attack her and tie her to the bed and just kind of slowly torture her. And that I did not see coming at all. And it gets to the point where it's unpleasant. And then it keeps getting more and more unpleasant. Because there's a part where they glue her mouth shut because she's telling lies. And then she's like trying to tell him something. So the kid takes a knife and tries to cut the glue from her mouth and just like cuts open her mouth. And she's, like, bleeding. And it's like, this is not comfortable. These kids are, like, fucking 8 or 9 or 10 or whatever.
I don't know why I laughed.
Yeah. Oh, kids.
Oh, kids bleeding. That's what they do.
They'll always cut their mother. Yeah. It made me question things here and there. But I... Overall, it was a kind of... pretty slow movie. I don't know. I gave it a 5.5 because it was decent, but the movie was something I had already seen before,
mm-hmm.
but it was just kind of a different take on it. I don't know. I don't want to give too much away, but yeah, 5.5.
Okay. The next movie I watched was The Orphanage.
Which I watched December of 2016.
So not that long ago.
It was
a year over a year.
2 years. Yeah. It was my first year of scary movies.
Yeah. So I was watching this and I thought, okay, so this is Spanish, I think?
I believe so.
Spanish movie, so it's subtitled. Scott explained the movie back in December of 16. But it's basically this woman was an orphan, and she was in this orphanage, and was adopted, and now, years later, the orphanage is basically empty, and she ends up buying it and moving her family into this old orphanage building, and then she starts remembering stuff from her past, and...
Yeah, Spain.
Yeah. So, it's her remembering stuff from her past, and weird shit starts happening, and... It was one of those movies that you're like, oh, this is cliche. They're going into this old abandoned house. Oh, it's probably haunted. And the kid is talking to his invisible friends, which are probably ghosts. It felt like very cliche. But then there was some twists and turns on the left hand, like, oh, Jesus. And the way it was shot and presented and everything made it unique, even though it was not that unique. And I don't know, I loved it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, like I said, it's subtitled, but it doesn't feel like a lot of reading.
Yeah, I don't. I honestly, I know it's a tale, but I don't really remember reading it.
Right, because I mean, most of the time they're talking, it's small phrases or names and stuff like that. So it's more of a visual movie anyway. So the dialogue doesn't take away from it at all. But there were some very memorable scenes, especially toward the end of the film. And I know Scott, after we finished after I finished watching it, Scott and I talked about it. I'm not going to spoil the ending, but our different interpretations of what we thought the ending of the movie was, which is always fun. I like stuff when they leave it up to our imagination instead of just blatantly hitting us over the head with it. I thought, yeah, like I said, it was a very beautiful movie. After I got done watching it, I looked at the guy who made this movie's, his cinematography.
Mm-hmm.
Or not cinematography.
Filmography.
Filmography. There you go. I don't think that's the guy. No. As the director I was looking for. Not the writer. And almost every single one of his movies gotten huge reviews, like high reviews. So I'm like, this guy's like the next Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah.
He had the same kind of feel with some of his stuff.
Well, I'm looking at the trivia, and apparently Guillermo del Toro played the doctor at the emergency ward who tends to Laura after she injures her leg.
Yeah.
So he's
Guillermo del Toro is also credited for bringing this movie to America.
Yeah, he helped, like, executive produce or whatever, but he's, like, uncredited, but he plays the doctor.
But, yeah, so there's, like, a bunch of movies that guy did. And shows, and I'm like, I'm going to check them out now, because if they look like that, I'm going to love it. Because I know it says he did The Impossible, which apparently is one of his most famous ones. And I heard that was a really good movie. But he also did the Penny Dreadful show, and then the A Monster Calls movie.
Okay.
And more famously known now, he did Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. But he directed it, so it's not like he had a say in the
script
and screenplay. So I thought he did a good job for the shitty script he had.
Yeah, it looked cool. The movie looked cool, but it didn't.
So I don't blame him on that one. But yeah, I liked it. I gave it 8.5.
I gave it a 9.
Yeah, it's good. Very good.
I liked it.
And yeah, like I said, Scott saw it December of 2016. So if you want to hear his side.
The next movie I watched in the theaters, I tried watching numerous times.
In the theater?
Then eventually, I was able to see it one day. The Meg.
Oh, yeah. Stupid movie pass. Fuck them.
Movie pass, thanks. So, The Meg. Jesus Christ. I don't even know where to start with this movie. Jason Statham, main actor. Jason Statham's character is a submarine rescuer, I guess. He, like, when people are in a submarine under the water and they're trapped, he's the one that goes down in another submarine to save the crew.
Okay.
That's his job. At the very beginning of the movie,
he's a glorified lifeguard.
Yeah. So at the very beginning of the movie, he went down to this place and saved this group of people. And suddenly, like, he was starting to save them. And then something was attacking the submarine. He's like, oh, something big is attacking the sub. He's like, so then he quick puts on the hatch. And then, like, basically leaves one or two guys behind. And the whole submarine explodes and kills the two guys in there. And everyone's like, you left them down there to die. He's like, we would have died if we were attached. And then they're like, oh, okay, wow, these two have a big fight. Cut to 5 years later, he's just, like, in a fucking boathouse in some sort of country, just, like, just drinking and stuff. God damn it.
This sounds dumb.
Oh, just wait, the fucking... It felt like the script was just like, let's use every character every way possible. What happens is, like, there's this big research facility that they realize that the Marianas Trench isn't the deepest part of the ocean. You want to know what's deeper than the Marianas Trench? The Marianas Trench. They realize the ground in the bottom of the Marianas Trench isn't actually ground. It's a cloud. So then underneath it, it goes even deeper.
So they thought that it was the bottom, but it's not the bottom.
Yeah. It looks like the bottom, but it's not the bottom. And this giant billionaire, like, Rainn Wilson plays a billionaire who, like, funds this giant expedition. And so the submarine went down there, And then it's like a whole new climate down there because it's super cold in the bottom of the ocean. But once you get past that cloud, it's warm under there again. And there's all these creatures like, well, look at all these creatures we can check out. But the sharks apparently are attracted to lights because that's what we learned in school, not the splashing or commotion or thing.
Right, like the lights that are underneath the deepest part of the ocean.
Well, on the submarines. So the sharks start attacking on a submarine.
Oh, because they don't like it. It's like gremlins.
Sure. Probably. except they have to be wet. So the submarine that got trapped down there, they contact, what's his name? Jason Statham again. Like you need the guy who yelled at him for like abandoning his men is one of the guys in charge of this mission.
Okay, I give up. I appreciate you come and help.
Well, not at first he didn't, but you know he eventually warms up. And also the woman that's on the submarine is Jason Statham's ex-wife. Like how does everyone he fucking knows is here? So then they bring him along, and then they realize when he finally saves people, the submarine comes out. When they broke through that cloud, it released some warm water, and that's where the shark got up through the Megalodon. And then he started just killing people or attacking the stuff. But there's a love interest story with Jason Statham and this
ex-wife.
No, and the Asian woman on the thing.
There's
absolutely no chemistry between them at all. But they fake it for the movie. But they're like, I'm like, they don't even seem like they want to be in the same room as each other because it's and also like Rainn Wilson's. And then Rainn Wilson's character, he's trying to be the funny guy, but
the
no
funny
one,
rich guy.
But no one else, like acting wise, like I watched the Screen Junkie trailer, honest review on this, and they were fucking dead right. It was like they didn't know what kind of movie they wanted to make, whether it be an over the board action like Sharknado type thing, or if they wanted to be like we're gonna make the next Jaws. And make it a serious super. So, like, the combination, like, there'd be certain moments where, like, oh, the shark's gonna do this because it's just that kind of movie. Oh, it didn't. Because there's, like, numerous times where there's helicopters, and you're like, he's gonna fucking jump out of the water with it and bite the helicopter. Never happens. Never happens.
Stop showing helicopters in a shark movie.
But then he'll drag like people on a raft for like and like, oh, what's going on? We're going too fast. It's like you fucking learn what you're gonna do. But Rainn Wilson's character, he's the funny guy, and no one else reciprocates.
And the only one.
Yeah, like no one else reciprocates like his like. So it's like, it just turns into awkward. Where he'll tell a joke, and I feel like they just cut it.
He turned into Michael Scott.
Oh God, like, in the best parts in the trailer, like, when he gets to the beach, that's maybe 5-10 minutes of the movie, and it's at the very end. It's, like, there's so many things wrong with this movie that I wished it was so much better, and there's, and the fucking, the one-liners, and just shitty, like, this person just watched their best friend die. Well, what are we gonna do? We're gonna ask the shark out for dinner. Like, that's what you're gonna say? Fuck you. God damn it. But the way...
It sounds like there was, like, a lot of rewrites on
that. Oh, there had to have been. There had to have been.
It's like, nope, make it more serious. Nope, put more jokes in.
I heard someone say that, like, there was an Asian and American influence. Like, they're like, we need to make it, like, an American action movie. And then the Asian movie's like, well, no, we need to make it, like, the Asian director or whatever, like, someone involved is like, no, we need to make sure this movie is, like, a monster movie. And that's, like, kind of where it got... fumbled up, I guess.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but that's something I heard.
Maybe they're trying to put this in the King Kong and King Kong and Godzilla franchise.
Possibly. But I gave it a 4.
Monsters.
I gave it a 4 because I left that movie going, I waited for this. I waited for this movie, and I got mad because I couldn't see it 3 times, and then I finally saw it and went, this is what I saw.
This is what all the trouble is worth.
It wasn't worth it. I would have rather watched. I guess I would have rather watched Slenderman again.
Oh Jesus! This was worse than Slenderman.
Well, at least in the sense of like there's nothing to this movie that made me go, that was cool.
So okay, what did you between this and Fallen Kingdom?
Fallen Kingdom had better moments.
Yeah. I felt Fallen Kingdom had some moments, but overall,
like I said, the best part of the movie was that the like when the part when they're like on their, I can't remember what beach they're on, but there's just like people everywhere, and the shark's coming like, oh, isn't he crazy? And he kills a few people,
right?
But there's one point.
But it's only PG-13, so they couldn't show too much.
Yeah, no, it was like that part in Piranha 3D, but imagine like
no blood,
100 times more people, and like there's some blood in the movie, but it's.
And that was the best part of Toronto.
But the thing is, the thing is, I'm like, the movie was trying to be smarter than it thought it was. It wasn't as smart as it thought it was. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, oh, they're doing this. I'm like, I can almost guarantee this is what it is. And it takes them fucking 5 minutes to get to the point. And you went, wait a minute. This isn't what's happening. Oh, no, there it is. I'm like, yes, we know. We have fucking...
Brains. We don't have brains the size of megalodons.
Yeah. Yeah, I gave it a 4.
All right. So I'm going to talk about two movies back to back because I've seen these before, and you've seen them. Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2. So I'm going to talk about both of them back to back just to get it out of the way. So I remember originally seeing these and going, these are pretty good. And everyone's giving crap and stuff like that. I'm like, it wasn't as bad as people say it is.
Yeah.
So I rewatched them because I have them in 3D. So yeah. I watched them for my 3D collection. And they are not as good as I remember. In case you don't know what Spider-Man is Peter Parker gets bit by a spider, becomes a superhero. And the first one, his teacher lost his arm, so he's using lizard DNA to regrow his arm and becomes a super bad guy. And I thought the lizard looked cool. Oh, his face looked dumb.
Yeah.
He looks like the generic... like watching this movie, I was like, okay, you take him, you take Koopa from the Mario Brothers movie.
Oh, Koopa?
Yeah. You take Doomsday from Superman, and you take Abomination from Hulk, and you put them all together, they look like the same person.
Wait, Koopa or the Goomba?
Oh, Goomba, sorry. Goomba.
Yeah.
Koopa
yeah.
was a person.
It definitely, yeah, he definitely has a fucking Goomba head from the
Mario Brothers movie. But I'm just like, why? Okay. Why don't you give him a lizard face? Like, I don't understand. They don't want extended jaws or something? Is that too difficult?
Yeah, that's what happened in Suicide Squad, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was another one, yeah, from Crocodile, the Killer Croc.
Killer Croc.
So that was the first movie, and then the second movie, Electro, Jamie Foxx, his character, he is freaking broken,
like,
as a character.
Electro is fine. Max Dillon is bad.
Right, and then he gets electrocuted and becomes Electro, and then you get the Goblin at the end. So... As far as 3D goes, the first one I was very disappointed in. There was one scene that was okay in 3D, and that was the POV.
That's so scary.
Where he's like swinging, and you just see the hands and stuff like that. But it didn't look as cool as it should have, considering it was all digital, so it should have been really awesome 3D. Where they did the same thing in the second movie, but it actually looked really good. Even the electricity and all that stuff. The second movie, as far as the 3D goes, was really good. As a recap, the movies, some of the jokes were so bad, and some of the plots were so cheesy. The first movie, there's a scene where all the construction guys are like, get all the cranes in a row so he can swing. I'm like, oh my god, this is stupid.
And then it definitely felt like post 9/11, like America.
Yeah, yeah. And then I'm like, well, the second movie didn't have... Oh, it did have a scene like that, where the lights were out because of Electro, and two planes are heading to each other, and then, like, they're going to crash, and then, like, the people in the towers are, oh, blah, blah, and there's, like, a very similar feel. I'm like, that was a big chunk of the movie you could have not put in it, because the movie is, like, 2.5 hours long. Way too long for a
Spider-Man. Yeah, two hours, 22 minutes.
Yeah. Holy I'm like, shit. There was so much you could have cut out of that movie. Some of the jokes are really bad. Some of them are really good. I don't know. There was...
Again...
Some stuff that was good and bad, but, like, overall, it was worse than I remember.
Also, I was going to say, like, Emma Stone and Andrew Garfield didn't feel like they had any chemistry online on the movie at all, but aren't they dating in real life?
They felt like they had chemistry, but but not the same chemistry Peter Parker and Emma Stone, Peter Parker and Gwen Stacy had.
Yeah.
Because she's like the popular girl and stuff in the movie, and she's like flirting with him, and I'm like, aren't you supposed to be above him? Like, I don't know. They felt like, hey, they're dating off camera, and some of it's seeping through in the movie.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. It did feel like real chemistry. It felt like chemistry in real life and not in the movie. Like, yeah. It felt unbelievable in the movie.
Yeah.
But you could see that there was chemistry, but it wasn't the characters. And I don't know. I don't know much about Gwen Stacy, but I feel like her character was nothing like Gwen Stacy. Was she a scientist?
I don't remember.
Oh.
Anyway. I mean, she was only in, like, the first 100 and some issues.
And I'm not going to ruin it, but I'm just going to say the best part in the movie, in 3D.
Oh, shit.
I'm just going to say the clock tower.
I was going to say the clock gears would probably look really cool.
That was the coolest scene in 3D. And I know a lot of people hated that scene because
it's not how it's supposed to be, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. But you didn't hear him bitching in Spider-Man 2, the original one, and that's like the best Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
So overall, the 3D in 1 wasn't that great. 2 was better. I'm still trying to figure out of all the 3D movies I've watched, which one has the best 3D of them, and I haven't figured it out yet. But Amazing Spider-Man, I gave a 6. Amazing Spider-Man 2, I gave a 6.5. Mainly because the 3D was better. And I did like Electro as a character.
Yeah.
I think Jamie Foxx took it too far in the other direction as his original character.
Yeah.
But the Electro, I liked it when he had the powers and you didn't know what the hell was going on and all that stuff. That stuff was cool.
I reviewed it in January of 2017, just the same month as Christine. Weird.
Huh.
I gave it a 7.5, so.
Yeah, I probably would have gave it in the 7s after my first viewing. Mm-hmm. And after my second viewing, I'm like, it's dropping down.
The next movie I watched in the theaters was the movie Kin.
That's right, the one done by the guys who did Stranger Things.
Was it?
Yeah, it's the same writers as Stranger Things.
Okay, I'm pretty the Duffer sure. Brothers?
I think that's what it was.
Okay. So the show...
Well, it definitely had the feel of it.
Yeah.
From the trailer.
The movie...
Watch the movie.
...is about a kid who his dad is Kevin Costner.
No, it's the Baker.
Not Kevin Costner.
Baker Brothers.
Yeah, it's not the same brothers.
No, it's not.
Shit, not Kevin Costner. What's his name? Dennis Quaid. Dennis Quaid has his kid... And,
The fucking fake X-Men one is the one that's done by the Duffer Brothers.
Oh, the Dangerous Ones or whatever?
Yeah, Dangerous Kind.
Kane, whatever.
But yeah, Jonathan Baker and Josh Baker were the guys who wrote and directed Kin.
Okay. So what happens is, Dennis Quaid and, his adopted son, they live in Detroit, so it's a shit town. And the kid, he goes around, like, in scraps, like... broken down buildings, so he scraps like wire and stuff like that so he can earn money, and when he's in one of them he finds these guys that are in these weird suits with these helmets, like you can't see them, and like they had just had like this big battle, so like one guy's head is like blown off, and then like there's a couple people that's like laying around, so he finds this gun and he's like, oh, what's this? This looks cool. It's like a space gun. Meanwhile, his older stepbrother, like, just got out of prison.
Yeah.
For, like, I think, like, robbing a store or something, or like, robbery or whatever. But his character is, like, working for James Franco, who's, like, this, like, arms dealer. Like, just bad guy. Like, I don't like James Franco, and I liked him in this movie. Anyways, like, he owes James Franco money. And because he was in prison, so he's like, well, he's like, you owe me money. He's like, otherwise, I'm going to go out to your dad and your little brother. He's like, all right, fine. My dad has this construction company. He's like, he's got a lot of money in the safe. We can take it out of there. And then, so then, like, Dennis Quaid shows up while they're robbing the place, and shit goes down. So then the older brother races back home. He's like, "Hey, come on. Your dad said we can go on a road trip. We're gonna meet here at this cabin. We're gonna meet up. He's got to take care of some construction stuff, and we're gonna meet up at this cabin. And like we used to do years ago, when mom was still around and stuff like that." So then it's basically a road trip movie, but James Franco's character is like, "We need to fucking find these guys." And then, he's just, following him down the road. Meanwhile, also, these alien-suited, people are, trying to find that gun that kid took.
Mm-hmm.
And they're chasing them as well. But the two, the brothers have no idea what's going on. They're just we're just heading here just to, hide out for a little while. And then they come across this girl at a strip club. And she needs a place to go, so they pick her up and they become friends and stuff like that. And that's it. It's much more of a like the title says, it's much more of a brotherly bonding type movie than a sci-fi action mm-hmm. movie. But there's those bits sprinkled in that make it more intense. But the whole time I was watching, it just felt like a good movie. It mm-hmm. felt good. It felt like an entertaining movie to me. I liked it. If it comes out in DVD and stuff, I'll probably end up purchasing it.
Do you think it's on par with Super 8?
In a different way.
Okay. But I'm just saying, it seems like it's aimed... I don't want to say this, but it seems like it's aimed for kids, kind of, but not...
Yeah, I watched The Meg, which is about a giant shark that attacks people.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie
is way violenter.
Way more violent. And because there's one point, because that gun that he has,
mm-hmm.
And the trailer.
Both movies are rated PG-13.
Yeah. In the trailer, you're like, okay, it does this and this.
But that in the trailer, it's showing shit blow up crazy. Yeah, it's
true.
And that's a person.
But yeah, at one point, you see what happens to a person. It just, they fucking get eviscerated. I was like, I did not see that.
Poosh. I was gonna say, I thought it showed one of those in the trailer.
Well, it shows him getting knocked in, a filing cabinet knocked in. But there's one point where he aims at that person, and you just see him burn off like an atomic bomb. Holy fuck! But no, I really enjoyed it. I feel like it's one of those movies that I really enjoyed it, but I don't want to.
Public probably wouldn't.
Yeah, I don't want to recommend it because I'm sure some people will go, "Oh, well, Scott said it was good," and they watch one. It wasn't as good as I thought, but me personally, I gave it an 8.
Right, go in with low expectations, and you'll probably like it.
But yeah, I know I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot.
I'll end up watching it once it's on streaming or something. Probably. Or if you buy it
when it comes. Yeah, when it comes out, if it's cheap enough, I'll probably pick it up.
I keep saying that, but. I killed giants over there, and I haven't watched it yet.
The next movie I watched on my was on my list called Vampire. It's an old, I want to say German again, but it's probably Austrian because that's how it works.
Well, they're neighbors. They're like us in Canada.
Yeah. 1932 movie. It is...
So before the world of wars.
It is German. Country origin was Germany /France. It's a silent movie. It's what is happening?
I hear that too.
Probably a truck.
Sounds like popping. Like someone slamming car doors over and over.
Yeah.
Or fireworks or something. It's probably someone getting shot and killed out in the parking lot. Hear it?
I don't know.
It's not fireworks. It's not gonna pick up on there, but.
Well,
I gotta scoot closer. I'm pretty quiet.
It was a movie about it was a silent film, and it was I kept getting distracted, and then I would miss the thing. But it's the synopsis on IMDb is a drifter obsessed with the supernatural stumbles upon an inn where a severely ill adolescent girl is slowly becoming a vampire. It's about a guy who's obsessed with dark supernatural things, and then he goes to this inn. And he sees this old dude, and he's like, "Oh, what's going on?" And then the old dude's like, "Here, take this from me." And you're like, "Oh, okay." He gives him a little book, and then that old man dies, a couple days later. So a lot of the reading is him just going through the book, and you're reading pages of information about vampires and monsters and stuff, and then of course the vampire girl and whatnot. But it's Of course, there's more to it than that, but it's a pretty short movie. It's like 70, I want to say 70, no, never mind, it's an hour 23, so it's 83 minutes. But, and then the ending too, like, because like the villains of the movie are kind of weird. I kind of got lost at one point because I guess I'm just too stupid for Silent Hill films,
Silent movies,
because I'm like, I'm watching it, I'm like, okay, this is going on. And then since they're not telling me exactly what's happening, I feel like I've gotten dumber just from, like, movies and stuff, like, constantly over-explaining things.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I can watch this. Wait, whose side is he on now? But, it was fine. I'm sure it was amazing for back then because, like, the dudes look fucking crazy. Look how fun and silly he looks. Yeah, and this part of the fucking... That guy just gets his... ass kicked.
So the name of the movie again is?
It's Vampyr. V-A-M-P-Y-R.
Oh, Vampyr.
Vampyr. So I think the German word for vampire. I gave it a 5.5. That was my list to watch. The next movie I watched was also my list, called Duel.
Duel, I watched that one.
Based on the Richard Matheson novel of the same title.
So... I just want to say this movie was good, but I hated it at the same time. I hated it because I was watching this movie and I felt that what the main character was. So it's good because that's what they're going for. Like, whatever the main character is going through, I was going through it, even just watching the movie. But I hated it because it was the most uncomfortable thing.
Oh, yeah. It's not fair.
It was good. I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I just hated it because the way I felt watching it. It's basically a movie about road rage.
Yeah.
This guy, he's passing the semi because of the emissions of the truck, and it's like, you know, like,
yeah, it's like 70s.
Yeah. So it's like the diesel smoke or whatever it is, and he's like, he's like, I'm gonna pass this guy, and he passes it, and then the truck starts like closing in on his ass, and then he like waves him, and then he goes through, and then he starts slowing down, and he's like, what the hell are you doing? I let you pass me, and now you're slowing down. And then it starts escalating.
Yeah.
Then the truck driver starts fucking with this guy, and he's waiting for him around the curves, and like, there's so many instances that you're watching, you're like, I don't know what the fuck I would do.
Yeah.
In this situation. There's a couple points where you're like, don't do that.
I'll say, especially at the point where like there's a point in the movie where I'm like, okay, now I can finally do this, and then like and then it's ruined. Like watching the movie, I'm like, I don't know how I'd handle this.
So yeah, it was a well made movie. It did what it was supposed to do, but I felt pretty tense through the whole thing.
Yeah,
I don't know if tense is the right word. Uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I was uncomfortable for most of the movie.
And the thing is, too, like, this was... Obviously, like, it's about road rage, about like, this semi-driver who...
I was trying to figure out how they're going to fill a whole movie.
And they did it! But also, it was a made-for-TV movie. So, like, just that it was just playing on regular TV. And I'm like, okay, wow.
So, which like, would ruin it, I think, if you had commercial breaks.
Yeah, for sure. But, yeah, no, I enjoyed it a lot. The main actor, though, he kind of sounded like Norm MacDonald at times, but he looked kind of... Is there fireworks
going on? There is fireworks. I don't know.
It's kind of picking it up a little bit, but... We'll see when... just send it through the auto level. But I gave it a 7.5.
I gave it a 7.5 as well.
Like, it's one of those that I know would be hard to find, but if I ever saw it somewhere, I'd pick it up.
Yeah, would you get this from the library?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another movie I got from the library that was on my list.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. Oh, sorry. Yeah, more than that. Amityville, The Awakening.
Oh, yeah, the one that got re-released last year.
It was one of those movies that was in like release hell for a long time.
Yeah, it was done and it just never got released.
So, the gist of the story is one of the main character... is like living with her mom and her brother. They move into the house in Amityville from the Amityville Horror, that movie or book or whatever story. But her brother's in a coma, and And so as soon as the girl gets there, she goes to school, and everyone's like, oh, making fun of her, like, look at the weirdo, they live in that house. And like,
she's
like,
she's got a brother in a coma.
What's wrong with the house? She wonders. And this guy who's like a total loser is like, yeah, you live in the murder house. I'm like, what? And he's like,
they do call it the murder house in the books.
Yeah, I know. But I don't even know if they called that in the movie, but okay. I just said it. But he like gives her a copy of the movie. He's like, watch this. And she's like, what? So then she goes home and she's like, Mom.
I guess it's kind of true because it says if you watch the movie, the original movie.
Yeah.
It says based on a true story.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, you didn't hear about this? And then she like confronts her mom, like, what? Mom, what's the deal with this? She's like, oh, I got it super cheap because of this. It's like, it's just a story or whatever. And then the friend's like, whoa, is it her, that guy who becomes her friend, apparently, because they're both loners, even though one's super hot.
Dude.
Yeah. So they're like, oh, he's like, we need to go watch these movies. I would love to watch the movie in the house. Okay. He's like, which one? This one or the remake? And then there's a bunch of sequels, but we know how bad those are and stuff like that. So it's like all these Amityville movies are movies in this movie.
Yeah.
It's just, it annoys me. He's like, yeah, we need to watch it this time because that's when everything happens. It's 3:15 a.m. So they're watching the movie, and it's like, they're like probably an hour into the movie, and suddenly the power goes off. He's like, oh my God, it's 3:15. It's like, this is what you're fucking expecting. And also, did you not start the movie at 3:15 in the morning? You said you're going to, you dummies.
You started early, you idiots.
And then these characters, then at one point she was like reading books in the, like trying to find information on the house, like the murders and stuff. And he puts the novel, he's like, this will give you more information. It's like, yes, we know the novel, the movies.
This is for people who have not, didn't know that it was based on movies or a book.
I know.
But it's like dumbing it down for the audience.
But then they make references because like when he shows up to the house, he's wearing a pig mask and he scares her through the window. And that's never mentioned in this whole movie at all. Like they never mentioned Jody at all. And then they have flies. There's flies flying through the window. She's like kind of swatting away. Never go back to that. Also, those kids that come into the house, they're watching the movie. They leave. And you never see them again for the final like 45 minutes of the movie. Like nothing happens to them. But then you find out like at the beginning of Act 3, because I don't give a shit, because if you watch this movie, you're dumb. You find out that the mom knew the house is haunted, and she wanted, because God had given up on her, so that she wants the spirits in the house to help her son. And they do. They possess him. And he walks around. And it's the spirits like, hey, remember all those years ago when the family shot, he got the guy shot his family? I want to do that again. So like the comatose Joker from the Gotham show, he's like, well, time to shoot everybody. And you're like, oh, cool. And that's the whole, like the end of the movie felt so anticlimactic because it was so slow. I gave it a 4.5.
That's pretty generous.
Yeah. I still have 5 more movies.
I'll see one. So I saw this movie in the theater called Searching. It seemed like most of the people I talked to about this movie have never even heard of it. So I'll assume that you guys have never heard of it either. So it's about, like, the entire movie is Screen Life. They call it Screen Life.
Okay.
Because, you know, found footage became a huge thing with movies because of Blair Witch. Screen Life is this new thing that's coming out where the entire movie basically takes place on a computer. I say basically because you get some cell phone stuff and things like that. But everything is on a screen. Mm. So you get to see... The very beginning of the movie was pretty emotional. Because, it starts up and you hear the old Windows login. So I'm like, why are they using this? Like, it was like Windows ME or XP or something like that. But, it's got the blue bar and the green button.
That's XP.
XP, okay. And then it shows, they create a folder on the desktop, first birthday, and then it shows second birthday, first day of school, and they're showing them putting pictures into folders, and you get to see all these pictures, and then you find out that the mother has cancer, and then she dies, so it's just the father and the daughter, and like all this is happening like before the movie, like basically where the, before the movie starts, because the title hasn't come up yet.
Mm-hmm.
So then you get to learn the relationship between the father and the daughter, basically from all the computer stuff. And then there's a point where the father's like trying to get a hold. You get to see the IMs. That's what a big chunk of it is, because he's text messaging her and she's messaging back. So you get to see like the conversations and stuff like that. And then it's showing. I don't remember. There's like a bunch of stuff going on. But then she tries calling him and he's sleeping. And then when he wakes up, he goes, "Oh, I missed a call from her." And he tries calling her and she's not answering. And then he's like, "Huh." And then people are like, "Yeah, she wasn't at school today." And he's like, "What? She was supposed to have this, you know, blah, blah, blah." And then he starts trying to figure out where she is. And they're like, "Oh, no, she went on that camping trip with the rest of the kids in her class." And they're like, "Oh, okay." So then he calls them, but they're on, like, in the woods with no reception. So, like, when they come back, they're like, "No, she didn't come with us." They're like, "What?"
Hmm.
So then he's, like, trying to figure out where she is. So then he contacts the police. And they do all this investigation of trying to find her. But you get to see him going through, like, her Facebook and Tumblr and all this stuff to see. And he's finding out stuff about her that he didn't realize, even though he felt like, we know each other so well. And then he starts finding out about stuff that she does. And, like, he's like, "I didn't even know this existed."
Tumblr, yeah.
Well, I'm trying to remember what there is. There was, like, like a webcam page where you do webcams and people like randomly see you and they
like Omegle or like Chat Roulette or something
like that, but it's like you like get coins and stuff. I don't remember, but I remember like when it popped up, I'm like, "Oh god, I remember that." But it's basically just a bunch of kids like having fun or whatever. But so like you're just going around and you're seeing that stuff, and then they would show like clips of news stories, and it got pretty crazy. But the thing is, it's like I kind of figured out what was going on like early on. And then as the movie was going, I'm like, yep. Like that one movie you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, I know where this is going. And then you're like, "Oh, didn't expect that."
She's an alien.
Yeah. But it was interesting because the entire thing took place on screens, which you're like, this is going to get annoying real fast. And it didn't, for some reason.
Yeah.
I mean, they did zoom-ins and stuff, so you could, like, see where the focus was. I just remember Modern Family had an episode that was entirely on their iMac, because it was, like, an Apple promotion. And that was, like, one of the most annoying episodes of that show. I'm like, you guys are trying way too hard. One felt like it was perfect.
Well, we watched The Den, like, a couple years ago. And that was one of those things.
Yeah, I just feel like they perfected the screen life genre with this movie. So if other people can perfect it like that too,
they're not going to. I mean, that's how they made like two Facebook best friend requests. Unfriended.
They did two of those, and those are pretty bad, I guess. Yeah. But this one was really good. It was very, I don't know. It's like those like crime drama stuff is so popular right now, so you get to see it like unfolding as it's going with the family, and it's pretty emotional, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
Because you get so attached and you see like windows into their private life, and like Hitchcock would have fucking loved this movie, I think. I gave it an 8.
Okay.
I thought it was really good. I recommend it. I mean, it wasn't in the theaters very long. I remember talking to some people about it, and they're like, "Oh, I'd never even heard of this movie. Oh, it's not in the theaters anymore." I'm like, "Yeah, it was probably in there for like 3 weeks, and that was it."
Yeah.
Got to make room for the big budget stuff, because this had to be a low budget. I can't remember the guy's last name is Cho. He's from Harold and Kumar.
John Cho.
John Cho is the main actor in it.
And he was in Flash Forward.
And then, like, so he's the big name, and then, like, the cop that's in charge of the investigation is the girl from Will and Grace.
Was it Melissa?
Yeah, something like that.
I want to say Melissa Debbing. I hope, like, that's not a porn star.
It sounds right.
Okay. All right, good.
So those are, like, the two main, I mean, obviously all the kids, but I didn't recognize most of those kids.
Deborah Messing,
that's it. I was like, Messing sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. So
it's cool. The next one I watched was Wait Until Dark. It's an Audrey Hepburn movie, and I was like, on a scary movie list, but it's more of a thriller.
It's kind of like Play Misty for Me.
Yeah. But it's based on a play, which I could watch it, and I'm like, it felt like I was watching a play, which was kind of cool. But the movie starts off with this woman, or this old dude, like, sewing all these drugs into a doll. And this woman, like, taking it on an airplane, like, she's delivering the drugs to someone. And then she realizes that the, not Port Authority, that's boats, right?
Yeah.
The airplane authority, security guards, FFA. I don't know. Whatever, they kind of spot her.
Future so she, Farmers of America?
So they spot her.
TSA?
I don't know if that's a thing back then.
No.
Whatever, either just way.
Airport security, I'm sure, works.
For smuggling. So like she kind of talks to this person. She's like, hey, oh, can you hold on to this doll for me? I got to, I'll contact you. And the guy's like, oh, sure, yeah. She's like, yeah, it's a gift for my daughter. I can't let her see it or whatever the fuck her excuse was. And then she gets arrested. Because like, oh, you whatever. So then the movie kind of starts in Audrey Hepburn's apartment where she's not home yet. But these two guys come in because like, oh yeah, the lady that was gonna drop off the doll, like, yeah, she lives here, so like just come and make yourself at home. She'll be here any minute now. And then they realize that like, so the guy's, like, just making sandwiches and like, turning the radio on and stuff like that. And then the guy walks in. He's like, hey, yeah, this isn't where this lady lives. This is where the doll is supposed to be. Like, what? He's like, yeah. Because, like, the guy that took the doll from her at the apartment,
mm-hmm.
at the airport, that's where he lives with his wife.
So he was supposed to get the doll?
Well, he was supposed to deliver...
She doesn't live here, the doll does?
Hold on. Let me fucking start over. The woman, I can't remember the names, but the woman that was supposed to deliver the doll, she handed it off to some other guy.
Mm-hmm.
He took the doll to his house because the woman that handed it off to him was going to pick it up later.
Mm-hmm.
But that guy lives there. He's a photographer. He lives with his wife, Audrey Hepburn. So then these other two characters that are supposed to, like, come pick up the doll.
Yeah.
They go to that apartment place because they think it's the lady that was smuggling it.
Mm-hmm.
They think it's her apartment. And then a third bad guy comes in. He's like, no, this isn't that lady's apartment. It's this guy. So you have to find the doll. I'll pay you money if you find the doll. It's in this house somewhere. It's in this apartment somewhere. And then as they're searching, they find the smuggler lady dead in the closet. He's like, we're going to call the cops. He's like, oh, are you? You're not supposed to be here. You've touched everything. Do you remember everything you touched? I know what I touched. It's like, and then he wipes off the one thing he touched because he's wearing gloves. He's like, I'm good. What have you touched? And there's a dead body here. You don't belong here. And they're like, oh shit. So like he kind of entraps them. He's like, you have to find a way to find this doll. And then Audrey Hepburn comes home and she's blind.
Okay.
But they don't like know that right away. So then they hatch up this like scheme to like this huge interweaving thing, like pretending to be police and all these different things, like coming into her house and calling her and some of that, and like just trying to find like. Because they think she knows where the doll is, but she has no idea. but it gets fucking like. But the thing is, since she's blind, she has heightened senses, and she's like, "Why do you keep doing that? Doing what? Like, what time is it?" He's like, "It's this time, but it's not sunny out." Because like he'd be like moving the shades to mm-hmm. like because there's a van outside next to the payphone, and like he's moving the shades like to signal and stuff. She's like, why does someone keep moving the shades? And like. Oh shit! And like, how come that those two guys that were here before, why did both their shoes squeak? And like, oh shit! Like, and she's like noticing, so she starts figuring this stuff out, but can't like lead on that she's figuring it out. And it's like this sort of like tense situation. But the whole movie pretty much takes place in that apartment, which I'm like, that would be That's a good cool. stage play.
Yeah.
But it was cool because it had the whole aspect of like them trying to like con this, like they come in like, I'm this character, you know, and I'm this cop, and like, make sure you call this number, and then they call the payphone, like, yeah, it's the officer, whatever, and it's like this huge scheme thing. And I thought it was very interesting and very fun. It
sounds interesting.
But yeah, it was I gave it a 7.5 It's called Wait Until Dark. That was
sounds like a good one.
Yeah, that's my list. Check that out. The next two I'm going to see in a row because it's a original and sequel. Mm-hmm. Village of the Damned, and then Children of the Damned. Now, Village of the Damned, to start off...
See, I always confuse Children of the Damned with Children of the Corn.
Yeah.
They're similar,
Children of the Corn's better.
Okay. I haven't seen either, so well, I just know that they're like little children that are evil.
Village of the Damned was remade in the 80s, I believe, with like Christy Alley.
I haven't seen
it. But Village of the Damned, it's kind of cool because right away, I was very intrigued by how they just kind of laid out this thing where this town... Suddenly, everyone just kind of like they look like they killed over and died.
Is that the girl from Poltergeist?
Christy Alley? She's from Cheers.
No, Village of the Damned.
Oh no, she wouldn't have been born yet at this point. No. This is like 70s.
Oh, wait, that might be the remake.
Oh,
yeah, sorry. This is 95.
Oh, 95? I think she's dead by that point.
The girl?
Yeah, the girl from Poltergeist? She died. Oh. She had like a stomach thing that the doctors didn't catch.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, like, Poltergeist 3, which was, like, her last movie. Anyways, so this village, like, people start, like, killing over, and it looks like they're dying and stuff like that. But then, this cop is, like, I'm not hearing... This army guy's, like, I'm not hearing any communication from this town. I'm going to check it out. And as he's heading there, there's, like, a police officer on a bike, and he, like, starts riding, and he sees, like, oh, there's that bus. He's, like, okay. And the bus, like, just ran off the road. So he starts riding his bike, and then once he gets to a certain point, he just tips over, and, like, oh, shit. So they set up a parameter. Everyone in the town, like, has passed out or fallen over. And at one point, they're like, let's see how high this is affected. So an airplane flew in, and then it just, like, crashed. And, like, oh, shit, everyone's dying if they get within this town. And even, like, they tried gas masks and stuff, seeing what was wrong. And it was like, it wasn't a gas mask. It wasn't gas. It was, like, people just falling over. And then suddenly, everyone just got back up. And, like, why is everyone awake? I don't know. And then it turns out a few months later, all the women in the town, all the women, even, like, under, like, 17 and stuff like that, they found out they're all pregnant.
What?
Yeah. And all these kids come out to be, like, white-haired, like, children, and they all look super creepy. And they all have, like, sort of a psychic link to each other, and all the other kids are making fun of them, and they're just like, they just kind of stare at them, and sometimes their eyes glow, and bad things happen. And apparently this happened in numerous places around the earth, and they're like, whoa, what's happening? We don't know why this is happening all around the world, but like in other towns, like, they're like, the kids all died from something, and one other town, like, they just bombed the town without telling anybody, even people in the town, the adults, because if they knew, the kids would read their minds. So they just fucking bombed the shit out of this town. And because once these kids get old enough, they're going to take over the world because there's something extraterrestrial about this. And then it kind of goes from there, which that whole idea, like just that whole setup of like, what's happening? How did this happen? Why is it... It really intrigued me a lot. So I gave the original Village of the Damned, I gave it a 7. Then Children of the Damned, the sequel to it, they're doing these tests on children, like, just to see how smart they are. And randomly throughout these different countries, there's always, like, one child here and there that that have the same haircut, and their eyes glow and stuff like that. But they're really smart. And they're like, hey, we need to get these kids together and figure out what's going on with them. And the kids will go, no, because you're going to kill us because we're too smart. And they go, no, we're not. And then the kids all run away and hide in a church. And majority of the movie is them going, we should kill these kids. We can't kill kids, but they're going to kill us. You're right, we should kill the kids. But we can't kill them because they're kids. We're not going to kill you. Yes, you are. You're children who are smarter than us. Well, don't kill us. You're going to kill you. You're going to kill us. We're not going to kill you. It's like, okay, fucking we get it. And then the climax of the movie happens. And you're like, all right, well, I feel like I watched an hour and a half of nothing that mattered. I don't know.
Is that the one from the 60s as well?
Yeah. Okay. It felt like a very forced sequel. Like, hey, you guys liked this. Let's shove another one. Let's shove another one in there. I don't know. It wasn't as good. I give it a 5. So Village was 7, Children was 5. I don't know. All right. What's the next one you saw?
I saw The Babysitter.
Me too. That was my next one.
So Netflix original movie called The Babysitter. It is... It's... I want to say it's original, but not at the same time. So this kid has... He's...
I mean, I've never seen anything like it before, but...
Right. But, I mean, but it seems not, like they're trying to spoof
not,
stuff.
Yeah, it's not too far out of the realm of right. what I've seen before, but it's not like I went, oh, it's just this movie with different people.
Right. So this kid, who is probably too old to have a babysitter, still has a babysitter.
He's 12, apparently, in the movie.
There's no... He seems like he's, like, 14 or
yeah, 15. The actor does, but, like, the character, I'm pretty sure they said he was 12.
Oh, okay.
Which is, like, right in the precipice of...
Right, that's, like... Okay, so he's got this babysitter that's really hot, and he is, you know, he's at that age where sexual things are interesting to him, and he's having this conversation with this girl, and she's like, yeah, when you go to sleep, she brings friends over and has sex with them.
Yeah, they have orgies.
They have orgies, and he's like, nah-uh. She's like, yeah, they do. He's like, fine, tonight I'm going to stay awake and I'm going to go down and catch them. And then she's like, you're a pervert. He's like, nah. So then it gets into this thing where he's, okay.
They're playing spin the bottle.
I'm gonna stay awake. So he goes down, he sneaks and they're playing spin the bottle and they're making out with each other. And then they just murder one of the guys. And then he's like, what the fuck? And then he, like, runs back. And then he hears that they're going to want to get the blood of an innocent child.
Yeah.
Which is obviously him. So he's like, oh, crap. So then he tries to set it, you know, catch them in the act or whatever. And then it just starts escalating.
Well, because he pretends to be asleep.
Yeah. But he hates needles. So then, like, yeah. There's... And the group that's playing Spin the Bottle and stuff is so cliche. You got the quarterback. You got... The cheerleader, you got...
The gothy girl.
The gothy girl, the token black guy, and stuff like that. And it's like, it's all cliche.
Yeah, it was pretty good. But it was like a spoof on a cliche.
Right.
So it was like, it was...
And there was a lot of moments that were generally really clever and really funny. Some of the stuff you're like, oh, this is gonna happen, and then you're like, oh, okay, they knew that. That's what we thought.
Yeah.
And then the ending just freaking was insane. But yeah,
it looked like they really had a lot of fun making it.
Oh yeah.
Why is he wearing a shirt? Just takes his shirt off for no reason.
No, he took his shirt off because it was covered in blood.
I know, but he just kept it off the whole time.
Yeah. I didn't have another shirt to put on.
But he had, like, a little bit of blood.
Yeah, it was very humorous.
And the directing style, too, was...
It was very gory, too.
Yeah. It took a little bit...
fun with fake blood.
It took a little bit to get into, like, the style, because, like, he'd do something like, yeah, and stuff like, whoa.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa.
It's definitely a movie they're trying to set different than your normal horror. I would kind of put it in the same kind of genre as Cabin in the Woods, but if you made Cabin in the Woods even hokier.
Yeah.
Like, it was way hokier than that.
And more lighthearted and funny.
Right. But like I said, it's way gorier than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
It was entertaining. I was pleasantly surprised by it. Like,
yeah.
When I saw the trailer, I'm like, I do not know what I'm getting myself into watching this.
I heard the reviews weren't that great, but then my coworker saw it and she's like, it was really fun. I'm like, all right, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah. So I gave it a 7.5.
Me too.
What are the
odds? We're turning into the same person.
It's almost like we're brothers. With similar interests. So the next movie I watched was another one of my 3D movies. I saw this movie before. I don't know if I saw it in 3D the first time, but I bought it, and then I watched it again.
Yeah.
Since I bought it. It's a movie called Upside Down.
The Pixar movie.
Nope, that's Inside Out.
Or Up.
Just Side Down.
Side Down.
This is the sequel to Up. Upside Down. So this is a romantic sci-fi movie, if you want to call it that. imagine that there are two planets that are right next to each other, and they rotate the exact same, so they're always facing each other, and one of the planets is an upper class, and the other planet is lower class. And the rules of this dual planet, if you're born on one planet, that gravity affects you. If you're born on the other planet, that gravity affects you. So if you go to the other planet, you're going to constantly be pulled to your original planet. So
if two people that are weighing the same and they hug each other and jump, what happens?
They float.
Oh. Does it happen?
Kind of. And then also, for some reason, if you take an object from the other planet and bring it to yours, if it's down there too long, it starts heating up and burning up.
Jesus. So
people go to the other, like the poor planet, steals like nuts and bolts and pieces of metal from that planet and uses it to heat their homes because they just burst into flames. So it's an upper class, lower class thing. So these two kids, they're little, and they meet each other because they're both on the mountaintops of their each planet.
Yeah.
And they have conversations and stuff like that. And he's like, you should come down and visit me, blah, blah, blah. And they like do this whole, young love thing. And then
Blame. She
drops and falls and cracks her head.
Ha!
And then
and that's credits.
Yep. And then 10 years later, he thought she was dead. And then he sees her on TV, and she's still alive.
Well, she just doesn't care
about
him.
She's working for this company, and he's like, I'm going to work for this company so I can see her. And Whoa. Then he gets there, and she doesn't remember him at all.
Oh.
Because she had amnesia.
Like a cartoon. But
so it's like a love story. It's like a Romeo and Juliet type thing. Not really, but kind of. It's upper class, lower class love story that should
happen. Yeah, Romeo and Juliet are both like upper class.
Yeah, they're two competing families. But there's like some of the physics stuff in general doesn't seem to make sense. But I think they fucked up a couple times in the movie. Because I'm like, no, that shouldn't happen because that's from that world and whatever. But basically he makes like a weighted jacket made from metal from the opposite planet, so that's weighing him down so he can walk around because he's weighted down with okay. metal from the same planet that he's walking around on. So that's how he meets her. But he's on there too long.
He burns
up. So he starts burning up.
Oh!
Yeah. So then he runs away and she's like, why'd you run away from me? Because he doesn't want her to know that he's from the other planet until he wants her to remember. But also, he's working on a patent that's using the different gravities
mm-hmm.
to create a facelifting cream because it pulls it up and like so you have less wrinkles and stuff like that. So he's working on that because there's a story he learned as a kid about these pink bees. And he goes on the story, these bees, they get pollens from both planets and then they make a pink honey that basically has the gravity of both planets, so then you can use it on either planet. And then he's using that as the secret ingredient for all this stuff. But I'm like, how is he the only person that knows this stuff exists? And then I'm like, so if they're called the pink bees, but the honey's pink, are the bees pink too? Like, I don't understand. So they're like doing all this weird shit with this pink honey or pink pollen because it's got from both worlds. So then it's got like, you can use it wherever. So he's using that technology to try to, find a way to the other planet. But
I kind of wanted to see this, but now I don't.
It's decent. I mean, it's more of a love story, and it gets really cheesy. There's parts in the movie that they're just like, da 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 da, and they're like, ah, fuck, let's speed this up. Oh, now she remembers! It's just like, oh, okay.
I think I'll watch the other Kirsten Dunst movie about the two planets called Melancholia.
Yeah. It was decent. I don't know. It felt slow in parts and fast in the other parts. But I'm trying to remember what the guy was from. He's from Across the Universe.
Oh.
And then yeah, Kirsten Dunst are the two main characters
from Spider-Man 3.
Okay. I don't know who he was in Spider-Man
3. No, I meant...
Oh, Kirsten Dunst in front of Spider-Man 3. And then there's a coworker that the main guy is friends with who's on the other side. Because the office building has tables and desks on the floor and the ceiling. So it's like they're all in the same room. So they're like handing stuff to the other floors because the gravity...
Where does he put the coat when he's not using it?
Well, the coat has pockets to put the metal in. And he puts the metal on the bottom side of his desk. Because it would pull up.
Wouldn't that also like start on fire then?
It's a fridge. He's got a fridge under his desk. So he puts the metals in a fridge so it stays cool.
That's what stops it from starting on fire?
Yeah. You put fire in the fridge and it doesn't start on fire. Because they give him this metal from planets.
No, I get it.
So he can work on his experiment stuff. So they give him the metal from the other planets. And then he uses it and puts them in his coats. And then he has shoes from the other planet.
I still feel like if it gets to the point where metal heats up and burns, a refrigerator is not going to fix that.
Well, my biggest plot hole in this is... Okay, so there's... I didn't mention this. There's a building that connects the two worlds.
Yeah.
And that's the company that they're working on.
Yeah.
But it's connected. So that means the planets don't rotate.
Unless they rotate the opposite way, but then night and day would be different.
I'm like, how does the night and day work?
Yeah.
Because there's times it's nighttime, obviously, and times it's daytime.
Yeah.
But nighttime is at the same time on both planets, which shouldn't happen.
No,
because it would be a constant eclipse.
It could happen. If they're like this, and the sun's over here,
right,
and they just keep turning this way.
But the sun would be on them the whole time.
Well, no, it just that their one planet, their time would go backwards.
No, it wouldn't go backwards. It would just go from west to east instead of east to west.
Yeah, it's backwards.
Well, you're talking like it's 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
No, but it doesn't make sense because I feel like the sun would always be there, the moon would always be there. Like, or you would have an eclipse all the time. Like, every day you'd have an eclipse. I don't know. That was my...
I'm imagining they're like this, and then the sun is always here.
Because obviously the gravity shit shouldn't make sense either.
Because I feel like if it was lopsided, it would just go fucking weird and wobbly and knock the fucking moon out of orbit.
But as far as 3D goes, it was okay. It wasn't anything memorable. I don't even remember anything sticking out being awesome in 3D. There was a scene... It's not really ruining it, but so one of the times he's meeting Kirsten Dunst's character, he's got to leave, and then like the cops and shit are after him because he's not supposed to be there because he's a lower classman or whatever.
Yeah.
So then he jumps from one planet to the other and into the water. I'm like, there's no way he would survive that, but that jump was really creepy in 3D because it felt like the distance, but like he's just dropping from one planet to the other and then falls into the river or whatever. But it's just like, that height, even into the water, you would have been dead.
Yeah. You jump off a bridge.
You die. It's like hitting concrete.
Yeah, unless that building was one story tall.
So there's a lot of, like, factual inaccuracies of the movie, but the movie itself was decent. I gave it a 7.5.
Now, the last movie I watched this month...
Two Worlds, One Future.
Yeah, that's the same catchphrase for mine. It's called
Two Worlds, One Future.
No. Like, this is one of those movies that I can't explain long enough on how
dumb the title
broken
is.
Broken this movie was.
Say the title.
It's called Shark Exorcist.
Shark Exorcist?
The Shark Exorcist?
Wait, so is the shark possessing people or is it
Shark?
A shark being possessed.
Shark Exorcist.
Or is it the shark that's taking the people's demons away? Like, there's so many... Like, I don't understand how this...
Okay. It's... Because I saw the art for it, the cover for it, and then...
Looks like a shark on fire coming out of the water.
Yeah, it's not that. That's not the movie. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What is happening with this picture?
It looks...
Holy shit. This looks like it's shot it's like a softcore porn movie.
Oh, you know, it feels like a softcore porn movie. So the...
seriously, that picture looks like...
I don't even know what the fuck's happening. These are like behind the scene photos.
Yeah, because they don't have any... Oh, that's an ad.
That, okay.
There's the poster. That's like, he's on fire and that's molten.
Okay, well, let me...
So the shark gets possessed?
That's the shark you see in the movie. All right,
right there. But does he get possessed?
Let me explain the movie.
Shark Exorcist.
Okay, so it was on...
It's like they just... Hey, well, we just put a shark on top of a movie title.
This movie was on...
I just want to say it got a 1.5 out of 10 on IMDb.
So
it came out in 2015, so it's not that old.
But it looks like it was shot in like 91.
Look like it's in the 90s.
Okay, so this movie also, it's a very independent movie. It's a very, very independent movie. As in, the person wrote the script and they said, we're going to have plot A, B, C, and D. Should we have them combine? Why? Why should you have these plots combined? But the main story is there is a shark. There's a shark, an evil shark, who apparently is there because at the very beginning, a nun, you hear on a small little snippet of a radio broadcast that a nun has killed a bunch of children. And she is the war, like, I feel like the nun, this is like her, I feel like we could just do a whole episode on this movie. But the nun, it feels like the actress is like, this is going to be my acting breakthrough. I'm going to do this. And so the nun kills all these kids, and then this woman right by the water to like, Hail Satan type thing, pushes the body in the water. And I guess that's what possessed the shark. And guess what? It's not even the ocean or a sea. It's a lake. There's a shark in this lake. The shark, it lives in a lake.
It's a freshwater shark. Or it's Salt Lake City.
So then, the main characters, there's three women that look almost the exact same, except for one has brunette. They go to the lake, and they're the worst actresses I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, they don't look like they can act.
They go swimming, and... In about a foot of water, 2 feet of water, one of them gets bit. And suddenly she gets bit, and it just looks like they dab some, like, color, like, some food dye and, like, corn syrup on her leg. Because they loved their fucking corn syrup and red dye in this movie. They loved it. She gets bit, goes to the hospital, and then, like, she's, like, healed in, like, 2 days. Like, wait, how are you healed so much? Like, don't worry about it. And apparently, she's possessed by the shark at this point, because at one point later on in the movie, she has shark teeth, and she bites her ex-boyfriend, I think. They just had a guy that they... There's so much that they set up at the beginning and then never covered it or pointed it out later. Meanwhile, one of the side plots, there's a sort of... a ghost hunting show with this red-haired woman who's like, I can hear the shark in this lake talking to me. Spirits, come talk to me. And then she has, like, these weird, like, fucking, like, Georgia, like, weird evangelical, like spasms on the ground, like the spirits are inside of her. This happens twice in the movie. But she has this dude who has a camera, like a small little, like, DV camera, like she's recording the TV show that she's like, oh, we're going to find some ghosts. This shark in this lake is haunted. And then this other person comes from this other ghost-busting show where she calls out fake ghost hunters and starts talking to the camera guy, like, don't listen, your audience, blah, blah, blah. Like, don't listen to her. She's a fake and this and this. And you're like, what the fuck is happening? Who would – it's not like it's a live show. And also, the girl talking to the camera dude, at one point, she's talking to our camera, the movie camera, and you see the dude in the back recording her. I'm like, who is she talking to? Because it's not the camera guy, the one camera guy that's with her. Okay, whatever. Then there's a part where, like, there's a guy who's a priest, and he's like, yeah, this... It's like this a long couple years ago when this happened, and I guess they had a flashback. I'm not sure, they never pointed it out, but these women are having this, like, seance in a cemetery, and Meanwhile, there's a girl in her pajamas just fucking convulsing and bleeding out the eyes and mouth. And nothing fucking makes sense in this movie. But at one point, just because it's Shark Exorcist, when at the very end when the girl that got bit was possessed, they are doing an exorcism, tied her to a tree or whatever, doing an exorcism. And the girl says, "You're going to need a bigger cross." But she says it with such an emotion that felt like she didn't understand the reference. Because she's like, "Oh no, you're going to need a bigger cross." Like, it just seemed like a fucking throwaway line. Like, she didn't give a shit. And then for no apparent reason at the very end, she betrays one of her friends for no reason, and calls a shark to eat her friend. And then the girl that the nun killed at the beginning comes out of the water, kills the nun. And then what I think is going to be credits, there's some other fucking character I've never seen before who's in a goddamn museum gift shop, and she sees all these stuffed sharks, and she's like, "Ooh, I want this one." "No, I want this one." And it just looks like she's just fucking, they're just shooting B-roll footage of someone looking at shark stuffed animals. I think it looked like she was about 25, who's pretending to be 14. And she's like, "Oh," like picking up all those shark things, putting in her arms, and then she puts them back, and she's like trying to decide what to do. And this goes on for like 5 minutes. And then at one point she walks up to the aquarium and is like watching the fish. And then she turns around and looks at the camera and then starts foaming at the mouth. And then it's credits. I don't know who she is or why she was there. I don't understand any of this fucking movie.
For Shark Exorcist 2. Okay.
It,
so where did you watch this?
This is on Tubi TV.
Okay, that makes sense.
In case people don't know, there's a streaming app or website. You can get it on a PS4. You can get it on a website. It's called Tubi TV, TUBI.TV.
Yeah.
And it has, like, horror movies.
A lot of shitty things.
Has a lot of... I mean, I watched a couple of horror movies that were decent on there. There's, like, some good movies on there. But then the thing is, it's free streaming, but then they splice chunks of commercials and ads in there. But to see something like this where you don't want to rent it...
Yeah.
I was only entertained by trying to explain it to Eric at work, because he's the one that showed me the art for it in the first place. And I was like, "You kind of need to watch it, but also you shouldn't watch it." So I gave it a 3.
Okay, so I want to read the taglines.
God damn it.
Satan has jaws.
Yes.
And, oh, where is it? Possessed by Satan shark, pray for her.
Is it P-R-E-Y?
No.
God damn it.
So I, out of curiosity, So Donald Farmer is the guy who wrote and directed this movie.
Yeah.
So I looked up his filmography.
Oh boy.
And he...
Is there one other thing?
No, there's a ton. And they're all things that seem like this kind of genre.
Hi!
So there's Cannibal Hookers.
Okay.
Vampire Cop.
All right.
Invasion of the Scream Queens.
So you just took two nouns.
Yeah.
Put them together.
Red Lips, which I guess is a vampire movie.
Okay.
But there's a sequel, Red Lips 2.
All right.
Movie called Space Kid. An erotic vampire in Paris.
Okay.
Bollywood and Vine.
Okay.
Oh, Red Lips 3.
Ooh.
Dorm of the Dead.
Okay.
Chainsaw Cheerleaders.
All right.
Didn't I already say Cannibal Cop?
You said Vampire Cop.
Yeah, there's Cannibal Cop.
Okay.
Hooker with a Hacksaw.
Okay.
Cannibal Hookers. So they remade that one.
Was the first one Cannibal Hookers?
Yeah.
Okay.
1987, and then it was remade in 2018.
Oh, that must be his fucking crown jewel.
Trashploitation. A trailer segment for Hooker with a Hacksaw and Vampire Cop. But yeah, they look like all titles of bad B-movie grindsploitation.
Yeah,
this is Body Shop.
There's not enough clips on YouTube, but watch the trailer on YouTube and you can just see like how bad it is.
You got the trailer. Oh, that's Donald Farmer.
Like, I was kind of hoping it'd be okay, and then I was like, once I got halfway done, I'm like, because this is a short movie. It's like
80 minutes.
80 minutes long. So, I mean, it's shorter than a Disney movie. So, but with
1.5 out of 10.
That's insane. I didn't even look at that.
717 people voted.
Oof. I'm sure some people loved it just for how bad it was.
Probably.
But like it's not the worst thing I've ever seen, but I did cringe a lot because I knew like those people, I felt like those people went, this is going to be my big break. I'm going to be in Exorcist Shark or Shark Exorcist. Yeah, I guess I did. I thought it was twice as good as everyone else on IMDb.
I'm reading some of the bloopers in the movie. The father misquotes the saying, "The power of Christ compels you." Instead says, "The power of Christ commands you."
Yeah, I heard that. I'm like, that's not what he says in Exorcist. There's a conversation.
There are many moments where you can hear the cameraman breathing.
Oh, and also the soundtrack.
The ADR does not sync with lip movements.
Oh, the soundtrack on it sounded like they're trying to play some sort of Jaws theme, but also an intense, like, scary movie. It sounded like they're trying to combine The Exorcist and Jaws themes together. Yeah.
It's physically impossible for a shark to inhabit waters at the highest water. It can only reach below your waist.
Oh, yeah. No, there's a part where people are in the water up to their ankles and they got bit and attacked by the shark.
Maybe it's under the dirt, sand? I don't know.
And every time the shark shows up, they kept showing that same, like, that same video clip. Okay,
it says that the runtime is 71 minutes. 11 of those minutes are credits, including a mid and post credit scene. Did you watch those?
Oh, no. I don't know if I did.
Maybe it explains your little shark girl.
Oh, God, I might have to go back.
The film has been described as Exorcist meets Jaws.
Has been described as, but...
by the filmmakers. Oh.
Those are... See, Exorcist and Jaws are two movies that I love. And this was like... hybrid. Like, if I took Jaws and Exorcist... and it took those movies and added them together, like, let's say on a scale from 1 to 10, and I added those two together, The Remains, like, if I took 20 minus whatever that is, that's what this juice seeped out was this movie.
Okay, so we're going to have to watch this video later on YouTube.
Okay.
The guy who does those the search for the worst, he did a video on
this. I saw that. I was trying to show, clips to show Eric, like, clips from the movie, because there's one part where she's talking to her friend, she's like, she's in the hospital, and she's like, I don't care. Like, no, it was like, she's your best friend. I was like, this girl, the girl that hardly has any lines, she was probably mad she didn't get the other part. It's fucking like, bad.
Oh, so you gave it a...
3.
All right, so I watched 3 3D movies, and that was Spider-Man 1, 2, and The Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2, and Upside Down.
My horror movies I watched was Goodnight Mommy, 5.5, Vampyr, 5.5, Duel, 7.5, Amityville Awakening, 4.5, Wait Until Dark, 7.5, Fiddler of the Damned, 7, Children of the Damned, 5, Babysitter, 7.5.
All right, the best movie I saw this month was The Orphanage at 8.5. And the worst movie I saw this month was The Amazing Spider-Man with a 6.
Best movie I saw was Kin with an 8. Worst, Shark Exorcist with a 3.
All right.
All right, and email stuffbyscott@gmail.com for anything you want to say. Just send me, pictures. Just
saying that you listen to it.
Yeah, just so I know the email works. Or send a picture of a cat. I don't care. Yeah. StuffbyScott@gmail.com. You've heard of me say it.
Also, send recommendations of sharks mixed with other movies.
Oh.
Because there's that Shark Avalanche.
There's also a movie. It's from Japan. And I guess it's never going to be released on DVD because they use actual clips from Jaws movies. And I want to say, I think it's called Devil Shark. Here it is. Cruel Jaws, it's called. Cruel Jaws. 3.0 out of 10, according to IMDb. A tiger shark bred by the Navy is killing machines, wreaking havoc.
And then there's the Jersey Shore shark
attack. Oh, no. Because I watched this on Tubi TV, it's not recommending all shark. These fucking shark movies. Tons of sharks. Did you know they made 2 documentaries based on Sharknado?
Probably. There's like 5 of them.
Yeah. Anyways.
That's a wrap.
That's a wrap. This is a Scott Does Stuff podcast.